Okay, so we're on Daf Lamed Pei tonight. Let's. So we spoke about the. We're up to the Esrog. So. So first, the Gemara tonight brings the different proofs that the fruit that the Torah refers to as pre Eitz Hadar is indeed the Esrog. But the Rambam in his Hakdama to Seder Zerayim, he points out that really there was never any doubt about this. They had a clear Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu that it was an Esrog. But they're just looking for like a smacha, like a proof that is the way. But they knew as a given that the esrog is the fruit that we refer to as an esrog. Okay, let's take a look at the top line on Lamed Hey Amar Aleph, and I'll pause when I get to the two dots. In the meantime, everybody just kind of hold themselves, okay? So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned the Brice, pre Eitz Hadar. The Torah refers to the esrog as pre Eitz Hadar. The way the Gemara understands it, is that there's a hadar tree, and you have the fruit of the tree and the eighths of the tree. So the Gemara, eighth is superfluous. It could say pre-hadar, the fruit of the hadar tree, but it's pre-eighth hadar, eighth shetam eighth so perio shavet. The Torah is intimating it's a type of tree, the fruit and the wood taste the same. Havi omer is an etrog. The Gemara says that's an etrog. Apparently the wood tastes the same as the fruit. So the Gemara says ve'ema pilpul, and maybe it's like peppercorn. So it doesn't mean like the vegetable pepper that we're used to seeing, like the big green pepper or something like that. It's like these peppercorns. I'm not an expert on it, but it's like these small berries that grow off like a tree-like bush or a bush-like tree, whatever. And he's got a picture of it in the Steinsaltz. See? Okay. Yeah. Let me see if I can show it to the cyber world. Anyway, here you see the you can see it. Okay, so that's the pilpulin. So let's take a look back on the Gemara. So he says here, Ba'ima pilpulin, maybe the Torah is referring to like the peppercorns, because it's kind of like we learn in the Braisa, Hayah Rabbi Ben Romer, Rabbi Meir would say, Mimashvash Nemar Semkul Eitz. Now here the Torah is referring to the mitzvah of Orla. The Torah commands us the first 3 years we're not allowed to eat the fruit of a tree. So it says, you'll come, you'll eat machal. When you come to Eretz Israel, you'll plant every fruit bearing tree. You'll make it like forbidden. So for 3 years, it should be arilim. It's like closed off, forbidden to you. Lo yechel. It shouldn't be eaten. So he says, so if it's telling me that I can't eat it, obviously, you know, it's a fruit bearing tree. So why, again, we're talking about Orla. Why does it say Eitz Ma'achal? It's talking about a tree whose wood and fruit taste the same. Heavy Omer is a pilpulin. That's the pilpulin. So there the Gemara has a drasha that the Torah, in giving us the mitzvah of Orla, is intimating that pilpulin are included in this mitzvah. Teach me that pilpulin is chayiv in Orla. And Rashi says that it's a very... Like I would have thought it's like a bush. Let me see where the Rashi is. Yeah. So if you look at the second wide line from the top in Rashi, Chayavim v'orla, lo tema min yerekhu. Don't say it's a vegetable. Neshu eitz shafel kimin rotem shenu gibel menar. It's a very short tree. Don't say it's a bush. Inachinam teach me it's a tree. It's chayav in orla. And in addition, back in the Gemara, v'in eretz Yisrael chaser klom. And it teaches me that eretz Yisrael is not lacking in anything. In other words, you don't have the peppercorn that grows there. So how come over there we darshan that it's talking about the peppercorn? How come over here when you're learning esrog, you're darshaning that Eitzhatam Eitzopiru Shava is the esrog? So the Gemara says, Hatam Mishum Dlo Efshar. So the Gemara says, look, that type of interpretation in the Pasuk concerning the esrog is not tenable. Taking the Avid, let's assume that the Torah meant to take the peppercorn instead of the esrog. So what would you do? So if you take one of them, they're very small, it's not nikar, it's not clear because it's so small that you're even taking it. Ninko treyu tlata, if you take two or three, and here on the side it says priyachana marachman veloshtayim ushtosha peyrot. First it says take one fruit, not two or three. Hilkach lo efshar. So therefore, we think that interpretation is not tenable. Okay, now, so the first raya we have is pre Eitz Hadar. It's Eitzatam Eitzo Piriyo Shabbat, we think is the esrog. And because the other possibility with the peppercorn, we don't think is tenable. Rebbe Omer, Altikre Hadar El Hadir. This is a different source or a different remez from the Pesukim that's talking about the esrog. It says, Rebbe Omer, Altikre Hadar El Hadir. Don't read Hadar like a beautiful tree. read it hadir. In other words, as if there's a chirik underneath the dalet. So the deer is a pen or a corral. So he says, ma deer ze yeshbo gedolim k'tanim t'mimim balimumim. Just like a pen with animals, has got large and small animals. It's got ones that are t'mimim without blemish and ones that are balimumim. Hachanami, so too with the esrog tree, yeshbo gedolim k'tanim, we have large fruit and small fruit that are on the tree. And some that are like, you know, fine without any defect, and some that are bali mumin in it. So the Gemara says, "Atu sharpero lepehu gedolim k'tanim t'mimu bali mumin." What other fruit trees don't have that? If I go to whatever an apple tree or a lemon tree, won't there be a larger fruit, a smaller fruit? One's bali mumin, one's not. So the Gemara understood initially that it's talking about the fruit to come out in the same year. Elahachi kamar. This is what Rebbe was saying. He says, "Ad shabayin kitanim medayin gedolim kayamim." It's teaching me the esrog tree is unusual that the fruits stay on from year to year. So therefore, when I could have an esrog that's been on the tree for 2 or 3 years, most trees, and this is the way Rabbi Simon Wolf was saying, where it was like most trees, let's say apple trees, so the fruit falls from the tree and things like that. The esrog tree, it stays on, so the fruit is on for a couple of years. Let's take a look at Rashi. The sixth or a narrow line in Rashi, Hachi Kamar Shvayim Ketanim Chulei Klomar Hakadol Ketanim Lav Shoshana Chak Kamar. It's not talking about fruit that came out in the same year. El Gedolim Shol Ishtaka. The big ones are from last year. Uketanim Shoshana Zu, and the Ketanim ones are from this year. Sha Etrog Dar VeGadil BiLano Shtaim Shloshanim. The Etrog, it grows in the tree for 2 or 3 years. Ushabayim VeChontin Shalach Shav. So when this year's trees like bud, blossom and bud, so the older ones are still on the tree. That's the other raya. Let me just a few more lines and I'll pause, okay? So then back in the Gemara, Rabbi Abahu Amar, Altikrei Hadar, Ela Hadar. So Rabbi Abahu says, don't read Hadar like with two comments. One comments under the hay, one comments under the dalid, which means a beautiful. Read it Hadar with a patach under hay. In other words, the fruit that lives in the tree says Davar Shadar Bilano Mishana Lashana. The fruit that lives from year to year in the tree, same idea as we had before with Rebbe, but it's a different remez. Instead of saying the deer, it's saying Hadar that it resides in the tree. Then Azalmer, Altri Hadar, Ela Idur, or on the side Hidur. Don't read the Hadar, read the Hidur. Shekelish on Yavani Korn Lamayim Hidur. In Greek, we call water Hidur, which is like hydro, or they said it was connected to hydra. Hydra, you remember from high school biology, and hydro was like water. He says, Ve'ezo hi shegadal komayim, which is the fruit that gadal komayim means, that requires both rainwater and irrigation in order to grow. Heavy omer is etrog. That's the etrog. Presumably, the other fruit trees, they just need the rainwater. But the esrog needs lots of water. Okay, so the bottom line, again, I'm just repeating. So it came out that we said that there's really a mistora that Chazal have, the esrog is an esrog, creates Hadar as an esrog. That was known. But they look for like rayas from the Pesukim, it's like a type of asmachta, the support from the Pasuk, that indeed it's referring to an esrog. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Nobody? Okay. All right. Let me just do a little piece from this is from the Al Hadaf. So we went through all the different shitot. Now the Panim Me'irot addresses the legitimacy of a murkab. A murkab is a hybrid esrog, the fruit that grows from an esrog shoot grafted with a lemon tree. So the lemon is pretty similar to esrog, just a lot cheaper. But typically people would want to take a branch of an esrog tree and then graft it onto a lemon tree, and then I'm in business. So he says here. He argues that since a murkav contains all the properties that identify a priest's hadar, should be valid for the mitzvah if no genuine esrog is available. In other words, Panami is saying, why is it a problem murkav? In other words, like the first thing when you buy an esrog, the box will say built in murkav, it's not grafted. What's so terrible if it would be grafted? And he wants to say the grafted one would have all the simanim that the esrog has. So the Ramah, however, argues that since the sages identify Priyat Hadar as an esrog, we cannot find that it grafted, even if it contains all the characteristics that are derived from the term Priyat Hadar. He means characteristics that it stays on the tree from year to year, and it grows from like the rainwater and the irrigated water. He argues that if any fruit that possesses the Priyat Hadar properties is valid, then other citrus fruits such as orange and lemon should also be valid, because they too contain the aforesaid characteristics. Now, the only thing is, though, that so the first one he wants to say is that it's not a pre-Eitz Hadar. It was Morkav. It's not called an Esrog. That's what he's saying. Now, the only thing is, though, in terms of Simanim, so they say that the Morkavim, like I think, like the seeds, like the positions of the seeds and the fruit, like one, like the seeds, like I think in fruit are like go top to bottom, and I think in the Esrog it goes out. There's different simanim to give that are, and then the estrog is bumpy and lemon is smooth on the surface, and of course it has the pitum. Now the Ritva explains that the purpose of the brice is not to prove the identity of Pri'etz Hadar, because the identity of an estrog is known by all by oral tradition from generation to generation, from time of Rabbeinu, as revealed to him by Hashem at Mount Har Sinai. Rather, the purpose of the brice is meant to expound on the exact interpretation of Pri'etz Hadar, to explain how this verse alludes to the estrog. Therefore, the identity of Pri'etz Hadar cannot be challenged, even if there are other fruit that meet the conditions mentioned in the brice. So he wants to say that even if it has the midot that the argamar discussed, that doesn't mean that it's an estrog. He says the consensus of most authorities that a workup is possible, and therefore care must be taken to obtain a purebred estrog for the mitzvah. Now, the Maharam Al-Sheikh suggests that a workup is used half estrog, half lemon, and may not be used because it comes under the psul of estrog chaser. So again, it's a question of lacha. What's the problem with an estrog morkup? So you could say it's non-estrog, or you could say it's an estrog chaser. The estrog is missing, so it has elements of non-estrog, so it's an estrog chaser. Alternatively, the levush invalidates a morkup because nevdo avera, a product of sin. Grafting the fruit tree is forbidden. You're not allowed to graft the fruit tree. If you did it, that's an avera, it's kilayim. An item produced through a transgression may not be used for a mitzvah. Okay, those are some of the ideas about etrog morkav. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, let's keep moving. All right, we're at the two dots on Lamed Hey and Aleph. Okay, now, what the Mishnah said, Shalashir of Shalini Dachat Pasul, we said, if it's an etrog that's from an Asherah tree is a tree that was worshipped before Avodah Zarah, and it wore it from an Irani Dachat, that's the city that's the subverted city that went after Avodah Zarah. And you have to, the Asherah tree you have to burn, and this is when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you burn the Asherah tree. Then Asherah tree in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, when you're admonition to burn it, and the Irani Dachat, you have to burn it. So my time, why are them both pasul? Came into the straight for Kaya, Kituki Mechad Shirei. So the Gemara said this before, since it's under an admonition to burn it, so it's as if it's like pulverized, and the Shirim don't exist for it. Okay, then Shal Orla Pasul. The Mishnah said it's an etrog that from an Orla tree. Orla is the first 3 years of the fruit of the tree. So then the Orla tree, I can't eat the fruit. I can't get hana from the fruit. So the Mishnah says that a fruit, an etrog from an Orla tree is prohibited. It means from the first 3 years. So my time, so what's the reason why it's Pasul? So the plea about Reb Chiya Rav and Rabasi. So it's Machlokes between Reb Chiya Rav and Rabasi. Chadamar, Lefi She'im Ba Heter Achila. One says, because there's no heter achila, you can't eat it. So Rashi takes it higher than where we are. In the Rashi, it's around the 15th narrow line. Brachman amar lachem, avui lachem, akol darchei hana'ato. Torah says, lukachtem lachem, take for yourselves. It has to be ra'ui to benefit from it in every way. So you have to be able to eat it. So you can't eat it. So it's not good as an estrog. That's the one opinion. B'chad amar l'pisha ein ba din, back in the Gemara. B'chad amar l'pisha ein ba din mama. One holds that I don't have any monetary interest in it. It's not Shabbat Prutus, Easter Hana'a, so I don't have any monetary interest in it. So the Gemara says, Kisaka Daite, we think initially, Mandabai Heter Achila, Lubai Din Mamo, that the opinion that holds I need Heter Achila does not require monetary interest in it. So that would be illustrated by, let's say, Maaser Sheni according to Remeir. So Maaser Sheni according to Remeir is Mamon Gavoa, belongs to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, but I'm allowed to eat it in Yerushalayim. So I have a heter achila, that's food that I can eat, Maaser Sheni according to Reb Meir, but I don't have any monetary interest within it. If I take the food, then I'm a Kaddish Nishma, it's not a Kaddish, because I don't own it. It belongs to the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So that would be a case of heter achila, but not mamo. So according to the opinion, it says you have to have heter achila to have it, according to the other one not. Back in the Gemara, Mantabai din mamo, Mantabai heter achila. We think the one who holds, you need a din mamo, doesn't require a heter achila. And that would be illustrated by the case of Tevel. Tevel is untithed produce. So there, I have a din mamo, I own it, but I can't eat it in its current state. I can't eat it. So that's what we think the machloket is. Again, So the Mishnah says that Orla is Pasul, and we have a machloket between two Amorim. We think the machloket is that one Amora holds you need a heterok, you need to be able to eat it, and Orla you can't eat it. And the other holds you need a din mamon, and by Orla you don't have a din mamon because Asher Bana. Okay, let's take a look back at the Gemara. He says, so Sakadaiti, Manda by heterokil, by din mamon, Manda by din mamon, by heterokil. So the Gemara says, Tanan. Now we learned in our Mishnah, Shel Truma Tamea Pasul. If it's an esrog that's from Truma Tamea, it was Truma, it's items that go to a Kohen, only Kohen could have it, but it's Tamea. So the Kohen can't eat it, that's Pasul. So according to the opinion that understands you need a heter achila, so then I understand that why it's pasul. So the estrog that's coming from Truma Tamea, nobody can eat it. Not a coin, not a non-coin. Nobody in the world can eat it. It's Truma Tamea. It has to be burned. So therefore I understand why the estrog is not good. But according to the opinion that, again, there are more rhyme, who we just mentioned above, the opinion that says I need a din and mamon, I just need to have a monetary interest in it. So why is that not good? He says, Hare masika takatav shilo. So I could use it as fuel to heat up my food. In other words, I have to burn it. Truma Tamea has to be burned. So he has a monetary interest in it. He could give it to a Kohen. The Kohen would have the monetary interest in it, or the Kohen could, you know, sell or give it to the Israel, and they have monetary interest in it. So the way we understand it, the mission is not working out according to both stadim. That doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says Elot. So the Gemara revises understanding the machloket. The heter achid lekuli amalo plihi debayinim. Everybody agrees. Both stadim hold. You have to be able to eat the estro. That's a given. You have to be able to eat it. He plihi b'din mamon. But they also have a machloket b'din mamon. Mar savar heter achid lebayinim din mamon lo bayinim. One holds. I only need the heter achid. If I can eat the estro, I'm good. I don't have to have a monetary interest in it. So, like, again, with the Master Shani, according to Rameyer, so that would be, the even though it's Mamon Gaboa, I could do the estrog with it. Umar Savar, Din Mamon, Nami Ba'inan. But the other one holds, the other opinion holds, I have to have a heter achila, but I also need a din and mamon. So I have to be able to eat it, and I also need to have ownership over it. And a litmus test for ownership is whether I can be Mekadosh Nisha. Okay, 1 second. So the Gemara says, "My benai, what's the nafkamina between the two tzadim? Ika benai master sheni b'shlaim alib the Reb Meir." So the nafkamina between the two tzadim will be master sheni. Master sheni is the tithe. If you're a farmer in Eretz Israel, so you take 10% in certain years. You take it in the first and second year, and the fourth and fifth year of the cycle. So Master Shani Birushalayim. So let's say I have an esrog from Master Shani and I'm in Yerushalayim. So Alibad Rameir. Now Rameir holds it's Mamon Gaboa. The Chachamim disagree, but working within Shita Rameir holds Mamon Gaboa. Lamandamar Pisha Bahetarachila, Harish Bahetarachila. So according to one Saad, the only question is, can I eat it? So I can eat it. So then I could use the esrog if it's from Master Shani in Yerushalayim, even according to Tan Rameir. Lamandamar Pisha Imba Din Mamon. But according to the other side, I not only do I have to be able to eat it, but I have to have a din mamon, and I have to have monetary use of it. Master Shani Mamon Gabawahu. That belongs to Kaddish Baruch Hu. So then I would not be good. Okay, so again, so we started off, give me a few more lines, then I'm going to pause in just a little bit. We started off with, we said that Orla is not good as an estrog. So we said, why is it not good as an estrog? So cutting to the chase, we have Machloket Amarayim. One opinion holds that the estrog has to be capable of being eaten, or that you can't eat it, so it's out the door. But another opinion holds you have to be able to eat it, and you have to have din and mamon. I need both. I have to be able to eat it, and I have to have a din and mamon. In Orla, I have neither one. So they both agree that Orla is off the table. But the nafkamina between the two will be Master Shani b'Yerushalayim. So it's Master Shani in Yerushalayim, according to one opinion, and according to the Tana Rameir, that is. According to the Tana Rameir, I'll be, it's Mamon Gavoa. So according to the first opinion that I can eat it, I can eat it. But according to that I need it in Mamon, I don't have it. Now, let's just do a few more lines and then I will pause. Tistayim, the Gemara says, should conclude. Now, we said above there was Machloket Amorayim between Rabbi Barav and Rabbi Asi. We don't know which one said which way. But Tistayim, the Rabbi Asi, the Amar Lepishayim, but Din Mamon. So the Gemara says, you should conclude that Rabbi Asi is the one who holds, I need two prongs. I need both. It has to be Heter Achila, and I need a Din Mamon. The Amar Rabbi Asi says, Etrog Shomaser Shaining, Rabasi says if it's an etrog basar shinin, the divrei Rav Meir within the shita Rav Meir who holds its mamon gavoa, in adam yotze bo yidei chobato b'yomtov. In other words, Rabasi is saying, according to the Tana Rav Meir, you can't be yotze the mitzvah because you need to have a din in mamon. You don't have a din in mamon. According to Meir, it's mamon gavoa. The divrei chachamim, but according to the chachamim who holds mamon heviot, adam yotze bo yidei chobato b'yomtov. So indeed, of the two, we can conclude that Rabasi is one who holds it. We have both. Okay, let me pause for a minute and take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Really quiet group tonight. Everybody good?
I have a quick question. It's probably repetitious, but when you're talking about mamon, you mean worthy of being sold for profit?
It means that I own it. It means that I could take it and I could be Mekadosh and Isha with it. If I want to, you know, go through a marriage ceremony, I take the object and give it to my kala, and then that's mine. But that's when it's in mamon. It belongs to me. But if it's Isra Hana, if it's prohibited in benefit, then I don't have a din and mamon in it. Okay? All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, we're around 8 lines above where it gets wide on Laman Hey. Please, everybody mute themselves. 1 minute. Let's help. Okay. So now we're around 8 lines above where it gets wide on Laman Hey and Aleph. So the Gemara says, Gufo, earlier we mentioned Am Rabbi Asi, Etrog Shamas or Sheni. Again, Rabbi Asi has a 2-prong requirement. You have to have a Heter Achila and you have to have a Din and Mamel. So the Gemara says, Gufo, Am Rabbi Asi, Etrog Shamas or Sheni, Dibre Meir, Enadam Yotze, Bo Yidei Chobato, Yonkov. So Master Sheni, the Yidin Yerushalayim, and Kutra Meir, nobody can fill the mitzvah of the estrog with that because you don't have a din mamon. The divrei chachamim adam yosibo yidei chobato b'yomtov. According to chachamim, the person does fulfill his obligation with it. And let me just add on in our Mishnah. So our Mishnah said that Master Shini b'Yerushalayim lo yitol b'natal kasher, that you shouldn't take it, but if you took it, it's kasher. So either it's holding that that you don't need a din and mamon, or it's holding you do need a din and mamon, but it's going according to the chachamim who hold that it's mamon hedyot. It belongs to you. Okay, so back in the Gemara. So we mentioned that Rabasi about the din by an estrog. Then it continues on. Matzah shel maaser sheni. Let's say it's matzah that I made from maaser sheni. In Yerushalayim, the Dibra Meir in Dam Yosei Ba'yidei Chobot HaPesach. According to Meir, a person doesn't fulfill his obligation on Pesach with it. In other words, well, the Gemara is going to ask on this, but the Gemara takes it just like it says by Esrog Nachtem Lachem, that it has to be yours, and how much of yours needs to be eaten, and maybe yours, you have a monetary interest in it. So too, that the Gemara assumes that Matzah is the same way. So Matzah of Maaser Sheni, according to Meir, nobody can fulfill their obligation with it, because that's Mamon Gavoa. When he chachamim, one could fulfill his obligation, is the chachamim hold, it's mamon hedyo. Then isa shel maaser sheni, the dough of maaser sheni, divrei Meir p'tur menachala. According to Meir, it's p'tur menachala because you don't own it. Divrei chachamim chayav b'chala because you do own it. Okay, that's the statement from Rabbi Yasi. So now, the Gemara says, maktif la rapapa. So Rapapa asks a strong kasha against Rabasi. Bishlema isa. So by the dough, so we mentioned 3 items. We have estrog, matzah, and the dough. The dough is talking about the mitzvah of challah. You have to separate challah from the dough. So the Gemara says, with the dough, the first of your dough. So I understand it has to be your dough. So your dough is got to be your dough, literally and figuratively. It's got to be your dough, like in money. So you have to have a dinner mamon and everything else. Etrog nami k'tiv lachem yishalachem. And by etrog, it says, l'taktem lachem, you have to own it. Ela matzah mik'tiv matzachem. By matzah, does the Torah ever say matzachem? The Torah doesn't say that. It just says, you know, be'erev toklu matzah. So Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel, be'yitema Rabba Gein Bar Shlemiya, aki lechem lechem. So he says, it's a k'zeirah shava. Tiv hacha lechem oni. By matzah, it says, lechem oni. And k'tiv hatam, turn page on the top line on Laman Hamid Beis, it says by the taking the challah when you eat from lechem haaretz. So it says lechem lechem. Malahalan mishalachem lo mishal maaser. Just like by the Isa, it has to be yours, and it can't be from Maser Sheni because that's Mamon Gavoa. He says, Afkam Yishlokam Lo Mishel Maser. So too, by the Matzah, it also has to be yours and not from the Maser. So now, so we have the statement of Ravasi. We asked a question on it, but Ravasi's din is that there are three things you have to own totally, and that's your Esrog, your Matzah, and your Isa, in order to do the mitzvah that's associated with each one, which is to take wave the lulav and to eat the matzah and to do hafrash shakalah. So the Gemara says on line 3, Lema Misayle, should we say that the following Braisa supports Rabbi Asi? The Braisa says, Ishtas Shamaser Sheni Ptur Menachala Hibra Meir, that the dough of Maser Sheni is exempt from chala according to Rameir, but Chachamim Rim Chayev B'chala. Chachamim say it's Chayev B'chala. So that fits in well what we said. According to Rameir, it's part from chala because you don't own it. It's Mamon Gavoa. Maser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa. Chachamim is Mamon Hedyot, and you are Chayev B'chala. So the Gemara asked, Lema Misayle, should we say that this supports Rabbi Asi? That's identical to what Rabbi Asi said. Not supportive. It's, in other words, it should be like, Tani de Messiah. You know, we learn a Bryce that supports him, and then it doesn't support him. Lema means, should we say it supports him? It's not a question. It's on all fours with him. Ella, the Gemara says, Mi de Baha Pligi, Baha Nami Pligi. In other words, the Gemara wants to say, from the fact that we see, the Bryce teaches me explicitly that there's a machloket by Isa between Rameir and the Chachamim. Should we be extrapolate from there to Esrog and to Matzah? Meaning, should we say that Esrog and Matzah is the same as Chala? And Mela, just like they have a machloket by Chala, they'll have a machloket by Esrog, and they'll have a machloket by Matzah. Should we say that? He says, Ela Midbaha Pligi Bahanami Pligi, O Dilma Shani Isa, or perhaps it's different. Shani Isa, the Amar Kra, Risotechem, Risotechem, Trezimne. Perhaps it's not so simple. Perhaps by Chala, the Torah repeats, Arisotechem, your dough. Then it says, Arisotechem, again, your dough. So perhaps it's only there the Rebbeir says, I have to have ownership of it in order to be Chayiv in the mitzvah. Perhaps by Matzah and by Esrog, he doesn't say, in other words, it has to be Lachem. Maybe he would say that eating is adequate. In other words, we're doing this whole shtickle Torah, the Amorayim are saying this is the way it goes. But it's not Muchrach from the Braisa that that's indeed the way Rebbe Meir would hold. In other words, maybe Rebbe Meir holds, yeah, for Challah, you have to own it 100%. 100% means you can eat it. And I guess we have to the Challah is separated. And then you have a dinner mamon. Maybe he, by the others, he won't hold it be that way. Maybe he just says, like, matzah is lachem and the esher lachem, but it's enough of you were able to eat it. So it's not mukhrach that that's the way that goes. Now, I have work, maybe you're familiar with this. So there are a number of poskim who want to say that, like, when it's the leil haseder, the person who needs to own the matzahs that he's eating for the mitzvah. So some people are very much makpid. Either they bring their own matzahs if they're going to somebody else's house, or that the balabas should be mocked at the matzahs to them, so that they own the matzahs. To say that I'm sitting at the table and eating the matzah isn't the same as saying that I own it. In other words, I could have a heter, the balabas is letting me eat it. That doesn't necessarily mean that I own it. If I assume that I need matzah chem, then it's something else. Okay, who's the questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far?
That would mean you'd have to do it before Yom Tov, right? Because you couldn't be kona on Yom Tov.
Yeah, so that's maybe yes, maybe no. So if it's things that are like tzarcha yantiv, like let's say you have lulav and esrog, so I don't say I have to be makam and lulav and esrog to you before yantiv. If on yantiv you need to wave a lulav and esrog, I don't say I can't give it over to you. It's matal min alahaksi. I can't do that on yantiv. So certain things that are necessary for mitzvah that we'd let you do on yantiv. So I think that you'd be able to do that on yantiv. All right. Now, all right. Let me just do a little bit more, and then I'll pause and I'll talk about some other things. Okay, now continue on the Gemara, line 8. She says, "Shelo truma tmeya psula." Mishnah said, "If it's truma tmeya, if the esrog came from truma tmeya, it's psula." So the Gemara says, "Delayt b'heter achila." So I can't eat it. So everybody agrees it's not good. That's it. But shelo truma tmeya lo yitol. Now the Mishnah said, "If it's truma tmeya, I shouldn't take it. But if I did take it, I do the mitzvah." So, pligi by Rabbi Rabasi, why should I not take it lechachilas from Truma Torah? Truma Torah is that which goes to the Kohanim, and it's Torah, you can eat it, but I shouldn't take it lechachilas. Why not? So, One holds that the problem is, so the Mishnah later on learns in our Masechta that the women, so the Mishnah says, if you look in Rashi, around the 8th and 9th in Rashi, he says, Mishnah says that on Shabbos, the woman would take the lulav from her son and from her husband and stick it in the water on Shabbos. In other words, so this is assuming they were using the lulav on Shabbos. The Gemara said they went through different stages about whether they waved lulav on Shabbos or not. We don't wave lulav on Shabbos. But the point is that they would keep it in water. So there's a chashash. So now if I take the lulav out of water, and now the water goes on the estrog, now the estrog is susceptible to tumah. It has one of the seven machshirim. One of the seven fluids goes on it. It means it could receive tumah. So I'm not supposed to make, with the truma, I have to watch that it doesn't become tamei. So I shouldn't take it l'chachila because I'm opening up the door for this to become tamei. V'chad back in the Gemara, v'chad amar m'nisha mafsida. One says, I shouldn't use it because mafsida. In other words, I'm going to keep using the estrog. The estrog is going to get schmutzed. So I'm going to destroy truma. So my binai, what's the nafkamina with the rice? Say the reason that I shouldn't use the truma tahora is because it may get wet or because I may like destroy it with getting dirty. So my binai means it wouldn't be ruhi to be eaten. My binai, let's say the person designated the estrog to be truma except for its outer peel. The one who says if it's wet, it's everybody, if it's wet, it's susceptible to tumah. So that's still the same. The one who says a mafsid, it's not the same, it's not mafsid. In other words, they would eat the peel. In other words, it's a din and truma, so I should eat even the peel. So that I'm not mafsid, because that the outer peel is not the truma. And again, the other side who isn't worried about the hechsher with the water, he feels either that that despite the fact that it's got the hechsher, he'll be able to guard it from becoming tamei. There's another side he has also. What is it? For sure, he feels that even if it becomes wet, he feels he'll be able to guard it from becoming wet. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
Yeah, I have a question. What's the source of the tumah?
So the tumah is just, in other words, it would be like somebody could have a dead sheretz around or something like that, or the person himself could be tamei. If I'm tamei, I still wave it, but where somebody who's tamei may touch it. That's what the source would be. There's tumah all around the place, but I'm opening it up to becoming tamei. That's the issue. And there's a specific.
Why even have to mention it? Everything is susceptible to tumah. Everything, at any point.
Right. Everything is susceptible to tumors. So let's say I'm in shul, and there's 100 people in shul. It's like the coronavirus, right? So I assume that people are vaccinated, but maybe some people aren't vaccinated. It's like an uncontrolled situation. I'm opening up the truma, to the whole olam. Maybe somebody, I'm going to put the estrog down. Somebody's going to pick it up, and now it'll become tame. So let's take a look. If you look at Rashi, the 8th narrow line of Rashi, Shemach Shira, let's read the Rashi together. That the woman takes the lulav from her son or husband and puts back the water on Shabbos. They would be soaking the aguda, all three of them on Shabbos. They shouldn't dry out. And then when the water touches the estrog, it's susceptible to receiving tumah. You're not allowed to cause any tumah to come to truma. The guardianship of my trumot, amarachmana, asela shimur. You have to guard the estrog. So that's what I would say. You go to shul with the estrog. It's a less guarded situation. And that's the concern. All right. Now, I'm going to move on, and then I'll pause on periodically another 10 lines or so. Okay. Now, the Gemara says the two dots. Vimnatal ksheira. But if a person nevertheless did take the estrog from the truma tahora, he shouldn't take it, but if he took it, it's kshera, and he's yosef the mitzvah. So according to one opinion, it has to have a heter achila. So truma tahora has a heter achila. So if you look at Rashi, a kohen could eat it. Yisrael nami nafik ba, a Yisrael can also be yotze with that estrog in the kachami kohen, if he got it from the kohen. In other words, he may have a grandson as a Kohen, so he can give it to his grandson as a Kohen, even though he's Yisrael. But it doesn't have, can't be redeemed. In other words, I can't be poda it. With this, whoever says is the Rashi, but this language struck me. It's very unusual for Rashi, but whoever is like says that pshat is a Rashi, like to say that you'd be poda truma. Okay, back in the Gemara, he says, Laman damar l'pish ein ba din mamon, according to the other opinion, not only do I have to have a heter achila, I have to have a heter a din mamon in it, a reyesh ba din mamon. So it's Truma Torah, I have a din mamon with it, and Rashi brings down, reyesh ba din mamon, koin mekadish ba da isha, koin can be mekadish, in other words, a woman, yisrael namin, im nat malo wa koin mekadish ba da isha, mokro lakonim ba da mushalo. And if a koin was kind enough to give it to a Yisrael, so that Yisrael could be mekadish and isha, and then she could sell it to the Kohanim. She could sell it to the Kohanim. All right. Let me go further. Now, let's see back. Michelle Demai. Now, we said in the Mishnah that if it's an estro that's from Demai, Demai means you bought it from the Yama Aretz. So most of the Yama Aretz would take Maiser, but a significant minority would not take Maiser. So the Mishnah says if an estro with Demai, Beit Shammai poslim ubeit Hilmach Shirin. So Beit Shammai says it's pasul, I can't use it. Mehil says I can use it. So let's find out what the machlok is about. Shel Demai, my time with Beit Hillel, what's the reason Beit Hillel? Now, Lechora, I can't eat it because Demai, I'm not allowed to eat. So how come Beit Hillel says I'm Yotze? So the Gemara says, Shel Demai, my time with Beit Hillel, came into by Mafkir Lunese, Bahabe Ani, Bechazile, since theoretically he could be Mafkir, he could give up all his property if he would choose, and then he would be a poor person. And a poor person, the Chum didn't make a Gzeira vis-a-vis the poor people, Hashanami Lechem Karina Bay. So too, even though he's not doing that, we call it Lachem, yours. In other words, since there is a root under which it could be his, now, the Chum, this is all Din Rabbanan. In other words, the Chum, you say that on a Din Torah, I'm allowed to eat it. But the Chum said that you can't eat it until you take the Mastro from it. But the Aniyim don't have to take it. But here, since it's a root, how I could be an Ani, so it's called that it's Lachem. Ditnan, because we learned the Mishnah Masechet Demai, Ma'achilin Aniyim Demai, V'Rachsani Demai, that we feed, we give the Aniyim, the poor people, Demai, and they can eat it without taking any Mastro. V'Rachsani Demai. We also give the soldiers, and it's Machloket, whether it's Tosfos says it's non-Jewish soldiers. Rashi says it's even Jewish soldiers. We give them Demai. Who Beit Shammai, and Beit Shammai, Ani lo achil Demai. Beit Shammai holds an Ani is not allowed to eat Demai. They don't agree with this. So Beit Hillel holds an Ani could eat Demai. Beit Shammai holds not. It's not because we learned that same Mishnah. Ma'achilin hanim Demai, Beit Achsenoim Demai. We can give the poor people Demai and the Achsenoim, the soldiers, Demai. But Amar Rav Huna said, Tana taught in a Braisa, Beit Shammai Omrim ain machilin aniyim v'yad achsanayim demai. Beit Shammai says, I can. We don't omrim machilin aniyim demai v'yad achsanayim demai. They said, you could. All right. Now, just another five lines and I'll pause. Shamas Hashani B'Shub Yerushalayim. Now, we said in the Mishnah that I could be Yotze, I could take the estrog of Mas Hashani in Yerushalayim. I shouldn't take it, but if I took it, it's kasher. And it means in Yerushalayim. If I'm outside Yerushalayim, I'm dead in the water. So he said, Shamas Hashini should be Rishalayim. Lamandamar ne Shemachshira and Re Machshira. So the same issue that we have by Truman, we have by Master Shani. Rashi brings down Master Shani is also called Kodesh. I have to guard the Master Shani from becoming Tameh. So I'm going to be Machshira. And by using this estrog, they come into contact with the damp lulav, and it'll be Mukshar to be Makabal Tuma. Lamandamar ne Shemachshira, according to the other opinion, that the problem is that I'm going to cause like it. I'm dirty and then I won't be able to eat it because it'll be for schmutz. Harim Afsida. That's why I shouldn't take the Master Shani. From Natalkshir, but if I did take it, it's Kasher, Lamandamar Mnishain Behetarachila Divrayakol. So according to the opinion, it says I have to have a heterachila. So Master Shani in Yerushalayim, everybody agrees I eat Master Shani in Yerushalayim. So then everybody would agree with that. Lamandamar Lapishain Badin Mamon, but according to the other opinion, it has to have a din mamon. It was by Orla, it didn't have a din mamon. But in other words, I need din mamon. Also, I have to, like, onish mamon, hamani rabbanan he. So then he'll say that our mission is going according to the chachamim. The chachamim hold that Master Shani is mamon hediot. You own it. Okay, let me pause for a second. I did a number of halachot, and we'll see if there are any questions, comments, thoughts on anything that I did so far. What's up?
Nimim Karesh, a woman with the demai, with Esther against Demai?
So, L'chora, okay, David asked whether you could be Mekadesh a woman with Demai. So, L'chora, it must be, yeah, it's only a Dinder Rabbanon, but even assuming you're on Rabbanon, so how can I Mekadesh an Isha with Demai? It's a Chumash that you don't own it. But I L'chora, since the Gemara is saying that I could be Yotze the Mitzvah, according to Beit Hillel, it must be, it's still L'chora, I would think that only one side said I had to have ownership in it.
Right,
the word doesn't seem to red flag that issue. So I assume that I could be Mekadesh an Isha with her. That's what I assume. Because the same story would work, you know, that if the woman would be Mafkir her Nechasim, it would be worth money to her. That's what I would think. That's what I would think. Okay. All right, everybody good? All right, let's go into the kill. Okay, we're 10 lines from the bottom on Laman Hamad Beis. Now, the Mishnah said, Chazazit, we said, were boils. We said that if the etrog, Altachazit Arubo, if Chazazit is on most of the etrog, then it's Pasol, what we said in the Mishnah. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Altachazit, Amrav Chista, Devarza Rabbeinu Agadol Amaro, Makamiya Bezro. So Rav Chista says that, I don't know why this B2 keeps coming up. Rav Chista is quoting Rav. He says, Rabbeinu HaGadol is Rav. Hamakom Yev Yisrael, like Hashem should help him. I don't know why he uses this expression here. He says, Lo Shanu L'makom Echad. That's only if the Chazazit is in one place. And we've said, if it's Chazazit Arubo, this is all like contiguous in one spot. Aval B'shnayim L'shloshim Makomo Kasher. But if it's little blobs over the Estrog, even though it's covering mostly Estrog, it's Kasher. So we have Amar Rava. The Bach takes out Amar Le'im, and we'll see why it should be according to the Bach. It's Amar Rava. Amar Rava Ad Rava. Rava says that doesn't make sense. But Pekert, Bishnayim Ushoshim Mekomot Habalei Kiminum or Pasol. If it's in two or three places, that's like speckled. Then that's worse. Ella Yitmar Asefa Itmar. So rather, if the statement was made by Reb Chista, he made the statement not on the Reisha. Well, Tachasad Rubo is Pasol. He made it on the Seifa. The Seifa says Al Miuto Kasher. The Seifa says that if the Chazazit was on Miuto, it's Kasher. One second, right. So if it's on a minority, but it's Kasher. So he says, concerning that, Amar Rav Chista, the Barzah Rabbeinu Gidol Amarov, Makom Yeh Bezro. So he says that Rav Chista said that Rav said, Lo Shanu El Makom Machad, that it's only if it's in one spot, and it's Miuto, that's Kasher. Abal B'Shtayim Mishosh Makomot, if the boils, even though it's a minority of the esrog, but it's in two or three spots, it's like a speckled esrog, and it's pasul. I'm a Rava. Rava says, Yal Chotamo, Bapilu Mashu Nami Pasul. Now, Rava says on the Chotamo, this is probably the most important halacha that we're learning tonight. On Chotamo, it's nose. He says, even a small miyud is pasul. Now, what's Chotamo? So here's time for picture books. Let's get our picture books out for Chotamo.
Page 127.
Okay, thank you. All right. So if you look at the picture book, if you look at picture 477, which is the top right hand corner on page 127, Shai, you still with us? Okay. So it says here, so first is Rashi's shot. You see where it's one line over, you see the part where the esrog begins to taper as it comes towards the pitum. So Rashi learns if there's a boil on that line, that's pasul, at that line. You see, and you see the picture, that's where the boil is. Then the more common shita is the shita of the Rush, which is anywhere from where it begins to taper. In other words, in picture 1478. So anywhere in that, it's usually the upper third of the esrog, it's the kiss of death. In other words, you really want to avoid problems there. Then he has the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam holds that Chotamo is like the little thick. In other words, it's really, you have the pitum and the shoshanta. In other words, the part where the flower was, like the little bulbous thing at the top of the esrog, that's where the shoshanta was. And then the pitum is the little stick that's sticking out from the top of the esrog. So according to the Rambam, the chota means anywhere on that little stick. Anyway, let's see back in the Gemara. So he says here, so chotamo, if the mashu is not pasul. All right, now, four lines from the bottom, nitla pitmato. If its pitm was removed, so then the Mishnah says it's pasul. I think that's probably pretty famous. Let me see the line in the Mishnah. He says, nitla pitmato, right? So if the pitm was taken out, so Tana Rabbi Yisrael ben Elazar nitla buchnato. Rabbi Elazar says it means it's pestle, like you have a mortar and a pestle. Pestle is like the stick-like object you're using to crush drugs or whatever you're crushing in the mortar. So it means that its buchna has been taken away. So Rashi, so let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, so Rashi says that Rabbi Yisrael taught in his Braisa that when it says nitla pitmato, it means buchanto. So the it's like a buchna. So it means if the pitam at the top of the esrog is missing, it's pasul. We'll talk about it in a minute. Now, there's another pshat that Rashi has that he quotes Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi, and he says the pitam is really talking about the oket, stem, at the bottom of the esrog. So first of all, you see the picture 480 in the picture book, you see the esrog with the pitam, and you see there's a hole at the top of the esrog. Everybody see that picture? Lower left. Shai is still alive with us. Lower left picture on page 127. That, everybody agree, well, that's the idea of pesul. Then, okay, now if you look, he's got a picture here on the top right-hand corner on page 481, is nitla buchnato, is like his oket, but the oket is pulled out. But here the Perush Chai, I think, has a little bit of a better or a helpful picture. Let me get the Perush Chai here. Yeah. So if you look at the Perush Chai, what it means is, if you see, like, there's like a valley, like the esrog at the base of the esrog where it's attached to the esrog tree, that's the oketz. So like it's got like a hill, and then the hill goes into a valley where the stem is. So the other pshat that Rashi doesn't like is if the oketz is removed, anything below the peaks of the hill, that is pasul. You got it? In other words, okis is the stem. So if anything is removed below the peaks of the hill, it's pasul. That's where he takes it. Okay, now let me just do a few more lines.
Are you talking about the other end of the esrog or the pitam end?
Yeah, the other end.
You're talking about the other side?
The other side. That's
so
the,
can you repeat the, that then?
Okay, again. So the Mishnah says nitla pitmato. It's pitmato is taken, it's pasul. That's what the Mishnah
says.
We
know that.
Okay, so then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak taught a braisa that it means buchnato. Buchnato means it's pesel. So Rashi takes it, it means the stick-like object that people call the pitam. In other words, it's at the top of the esrog, the pitam. So if the pitam breaks off in a way that it's like has a hole in the esrog, it's pesel. That's the one pshat that Rashi has. Then Rashi has the second pshat that he rejects, but the first pshat he quotes from Rabbi Yaakov, who was one of his Rebbeim. Then he quotes Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi, who says that the nitla pitmato means that the oketz, that the stem is missing. In other words, the stem at the base of the esrog is missing. And it means if the stem is missing anywhere below, in other words, the esrog comes, it's got like a hill, and then it goes into a valley for the stem. So anything below the peaks of that hill, if it's missing, that would be pesul. That's the way the second shot is going. So Barashi doesn't like that shot. Okay, now, let me just do a few more lines in the Gemara, then I'll talk some halacha, that'll be it. So, three lines from the bottom. Niklaf, we said if the esrog was peeled, so we said that also is pasul, right? We said in the Mishnah, let me see the line. Niklaf, right. Niklaf is pasul. So Niklaf, amarava, hai etroga de iglid, kahina sumka kshera. Rabbi says, if an esrog that was peeled, and now it looks like kahila sumka, like it looks like a red date, because it turns red or whatever, he says, kshera, it's kshera. So the Gemara says, vanatan niklaf pasul, but the Mishnah says, if it's niklaf, it's pasul. How can Rabbi teach me that it's kasher? So he says, look, kasher, there's no contradiction. And there's two ways to learn the next line of the Gemara. Habakula habamiksato. Rashi takes it, if the whole esrog is peeled, there's no peel left, that's kasher. Habamiksata, if some of it is peeled off, then the esro looks like a menumar and it's pasul. So Rashi would say, our Mishnah is talking about some of the peel is missing, but if all the peel is gone, it's kasher. But many Rishonim learn differently. They learn punfaker, that it means that if only some of it, and they're medame to tilchos trefus, they would, let's say, with an animal, it's missing part of its hide, so if it's missing parts of its hide, it's still kasher. If it's missing all the hide, it's treif. So we want to say the same thing with the esro. If it's missing certain parts of the peel, it's still kasher. If it's missing all the peel, it's pasul. All right, now, let me talk a little about the pitam, and then let me talk about an esrog under the bed, and then that will be it for tonight, okay? So first, I want to do a halacha ma'aseh with the pitam. Everybody needs to know this. So obviously, when you look for an esrog, you want to try to find, ideally speaking, the whole esrog should be without spots, should have a nice gold color, be bumpy, and the pitam is in good shape. So he gives halacha about the pitam. Now, if the entire pitam was removed, leaving a hole in the fruit, the esrog is invalid. So if the pitam breaks off, and now there's like a crevice on top, the esrog is pasul. There's a dispute between Rabbeinu Hananel and Rabbeinu Tam regarding the esrog whose pitam was removed, leaving the remaining portion of the pitam flush with the body of the esrog. Let's say the pitam is broken off, but it's like an even, smooth cut along the surface. You know what I mean? In other words, the pitam is broken off, but there's no hole, but there's nothing sticking up from the surface. So that's the machloka between Rabbeinu Kanan and Rabbeinu Tam, whether it's still good or not. Then, let's say part of the pitam is sticking above the surface, but not the whole thing. So that's kasher. So if some of the stick is sticking out, it's still kasher. And then if only the shoshanta was removed, then obviously it's still kasher, like the little bulbous thing at top. Now, then he's got, poskim disagree with an esrog disqualified because it does not meet the standards of hadar, is invalid only on the first day or is invalid for all the days of Sukkot. In the event that there's a dispute whether the disqualification is because it's lacking in beauty or whether it's deficient, chaser, which is valid for use after the first day, we are lenient and allow such an esrog to be used if another is not available. So in other words, let's say I have an esrog which is chaser. So chaser is only a psul on the first 2 days of Yantiv. Afterwards, it's good. So let's say I'm not sure something was a din chisaron hador chaser. So therefore, since the dispute whether the disqualification of the pitam removed is because lacking sense of beauty is deficient, we can be lenient after the first day and take the estrog without making a bracha if another is not available. So means, let's say I have an estrog and the pitam, and there's a hole in the estrog. So if I have no other estrog, I could take it without a bracha. The other day is a sukkot. But all right, that's the piece with that. Now there's a question. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. There's a question of halacha that they all talk about. Let's say a person left the estrog under the bed, under his bed. So in halacha, and your day is brought down, that a person shouldn't eat food that's left under a person's bed. It's got ruach ra on it. So he's got a whole story where he says somebody had a very valuable estrog. He puts it in like a linen box underneath his bed. And then before Yantav, he's reviewing the halacha, and he says, like, what did I do with this? There's a whole tumult among the poskim. So in other words, the thing is, we said it has to be heter achila. It has to be ruach achila. But now, if I can't, if it's on the bed now, I can't eat it anymore. So, but the issue is that still the same type of Easter that's going on? There was mitzvah halacha, it's kosher, but I shouldn't eat it because it's a sakana. Is that the same thing as what the Gemara was talking about? Okay, now let me just do this story, and then this will be it.
Just quickly, any the esrog without the pitam, grow without the pitam, that's no problem, right?
Yeah, if it grew that way, then that's fine. Okay, now. Rabbi Michal Zlatchev owned a beautiful pair of tefillin that had been handed down to him by his father, Rabbi Yitzchak, the Magid of Turovitz. Despite his crushing poverty, Rabbi Michal refused to part with the tefillin. Even the wealthy Hasidim offered huge sums for them, he had another pair of regular use. Rabbi Michal's Rebbetzin constantly adjured him to sell them to provide for their family. Rabbi Michal would not be swayed. One Erev Sukkot arrived, and no Esrogim were to be found in all of Zlatchev. People tried to import Esrogim from the town, but failed. Eventually, one man managed to bring a Mahuder Estrog to Son Zlatchev and offered it at an astronomical price. Okay. Eventually, one man managed to bring a Mahuder Estrog to Son Zlatchev and offered it at an astronomical price. Rabichel decided to sell his prized tefillin and bought the Estrog himself. At first, he tried to hide his actions from his family, but eventually they pried the truth out of him. Could it be? How many times have we begged you to sell these tefillin to support us and you refused? And now you sold it for an estrog. without thinking. Now, the way he's got the story here is the way I remember reading it. The way I remember the story was the wife, in anger, takes the estrogen and throws it on the floor, and then it breaks the pendulum. That's the way I remember the story. But he says, without thinking, someone grabbed the valuable estrogen off the table, bit off the pitum, and hurled to the ground in frustration, making it invalid. Ramichael raises eyes heavenward. Ribbono shel Olam, I've lost my tefillin. I've lost my estrog. Should I lose my temper too? He restrained himself and didn't react at all. Sometime later, his father spoke to him in a dream. Your self-restraint made more of an impact on High than the self-sacrifice it took to trade away the tefillin. All right, that's it for tonight. Let me end it for you. One second.